Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
This episode of The Gays Are Revolting is brought to you by Gale.
Gale is a gay ale made with a nod to our community's sense of pride and self-expression. At a time when our community needs it most, and the great thing about Gale is that they donate a percentage of profits back to the community.
Visit galebev.com.au and use code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout for 10% off.
That's galebev.com.au and use the code GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout.
The Gays Are Revolting is supported by supersimplecards.com.
Bring back the joy of card giving.
Order a pack of greeting cards from supersimplecards.com with 10% off your entire order when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout. And remember, cards are a nice addition to your shit gift.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from.
And so we're back again.
Hello. Welcome.
And we're joined by our regular hosts. So first up, I've got Thomas Jaspers, who is a professional celebrity best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
Our next host is Kyle, who joins us all the way from South Africa.
Here we go.
Which, funnily enough, is about the same distance as the distance between his eyes.
Oh, I see what you did there. I also see what you did over here. Oh, bitch.
I'm so happy to have Mikey after his unfortunate banjo snapping incident at Wet on Wellington after being fucked with Amel instead of Lou.
Oh,
hi.
Right
back. And then, of course, there's just me.
Plain old you.
Your regular asshole.
Plain, boring old Luke. Hello, Luke. How are you, darling?
Yeah, I'm good.
Have you had a good time?
I'm very happy to see Mikey back.
Oh, what a week, chopped liver. So rude. I mean, Mikey's great, but like, come on. Hi.
But it's nice to have us all back.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a family
the
now.
Crew.
Yay. I feel like I haven't seen you guys in forever because I literally
It's been two whole weeks.
We saw you on Monday.
You did come to Granny Bingo.
Yeah. Granny Bingo is so much fun. I am so sold on it. I'm coming to like every single Granny Bingo.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I've never laughed so hard. My body hurt. Like, yeah, he called me a racist in front of a crowd of people and it was hilarious.
I read you. And Kyle and Mikey very kindly came along. Yeah. Luke, what were you doing on Monday night?
I was real cut because I was only about 10 minutes away.
What's good, Miley?
I finished work real late. I've been really busy at work.
It's fine, whatever.
And anyone
I look forward to one day supporting you if you ever manage to do anything with your life.
You'll be waiting.
I have an embarrassing sex story to tell you, which is probably not a huge surprise because it happens to me all the time.
This never happened.
But
on this
happened to me between the last two podcast recordings. Yeah. So I had a guy over from Grindr.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready and I was like, checked the sex drawer to make sure the lube and everything was there. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I bought a bottle of lube from a sex shop and it came with some free cock rings. And years ago, I tried to put one on, but it was, you know, those rubber ones, hard rubber. And it was too small. And I'm not saying I have like a massive cock or whatever. We've already discussed that. These must have been from like the kids' section at the sex shop or something like that. It was a very small cock ring. So it had just been sitting in my drawer, and this guy was on his way over, and I saw it sitting there, and I thought, you know, I either have to use it or throw them out, so I'm going to give it one more crack.
Yeah.
So before he came over, I like stretched the fuck out of this thing and got my dick and balls into it, put it on, put my pants on, guy came over. So he's making out and doing lots of stuff, and he goes down, he's like, oh, cock ring, hot. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And we start fucking, and then it started really hurting. And I was like, just keep going, you'll be fine, you'll be fine. And then it started like cutting into my skin.
Oh,
and I was I had to stop. And I was like, I'm sorry, I've got to stop. This is actually the first time I've worn this cock ring. It's really hurting, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, that's okay. I was like, I'll just go to the bathroom and take it off. So I went to the bathroom. But yeah, the point of a cock ring is it doesn't come off once you're hard. Like
it's on.
It's on, yeah. So I was like trying to get it down. And so I'm in the bathroom with soap and stuff. And I started making like these sounds trying to get it off. And so he comes in from the bedroom. He's like, is everything okay? And I've got tears in my eyes from the pain. Like it was red roar around the base of my cock. So he's like, oh, here, let me help you. So then he's trying to pull it off. And I'm like, no, every time you touch my dick, it makes it harder and that makes it hurt. So we were like, I was like, we've got to get scissors. So we ran down to the kitchen. Thank God my housemates went home. We ran down to the kitchen.
Oh, no.
And he's lying on the ground while I'm screaming. And he's trying to like get the scissors underneath.
This is some Final Destination shit.
Under my gooch, trying to like snip the thing. Oh, and then finally like gets the one blade under the, between the skin and the cock ring, and snips it and snips my ball sack. So there was blood and tears.
Why?
And, yeah.
Why?
Did you keep
Sorry, you asked. No.
No.
We definitely did.
Wait.
But I will say, he has messaged since.
Yeah.
And as soon as the Panthen does its job, I'll call him back.
So someone asks you now, are you cut or uncut?
Cut in the wrong spot, yeah.
Doesn't matter where.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
There's nothing like a blood pact.
Yeah.
Fuck.
To see
what the deal. As you know all about.
I know all.
Your banjo strap.
Okay, so back in the news this week has been the seventh archangel of gayness, which is, you know, our queen Beyoncé.
Yeah,
it was a cover of the September issue of Vogue just recently. I find it a bit weird how we have this sort of adoration of female pop stars, and I'm totally guilty of it. I constantly tweet about Charlie XCX and bring her up or try to slip lyrics of her songs into conversation on a daily basis. But Beyoncé has been everywhere this week. Have you guys read the article?
God, yes.
Incredible.
Like, the photos are incredible.
The photos
the entire interview was incredible. I was just, oh, I love her so much.
The reason why the article and the cover's been getting a lot of attention is because not only is it one of a, like, a very rare interview opportunity with Beyoncé, but it's also the first POC photographer that's ever had a photo shoot on the cover of Vogue in the history of Vogue. Yeah. And he's great. He's done stuff with Solange, who is my Beyoncé.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the difference.
Is Solange the older sister? Or younger.
Yeah.
Younger, she beat the shit out of Jay-Z. Hey.
Please correct us if
we're wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was video footage,
But in an interview once, she said she wanted to be like a black Björk. And that's all in my boxes.
All about it. Yeah. But like, not only is it a black photographer, but the fact that there is a black woman on the September issue of Vogue. Like, it is the most coveted issue every year.
What's our thoughts on Beyoncé? Who's a fan?
I'm
who's
a big old fan.
Yeah, she's part of the Beehive.
She's done amazing things for the black community, and not only the black community, but for women as well. Like, within pop culture, within music, like, she just has really paved the way for R&B artists, for pop artists who aren't getting sort of the forefront as, I guess, other white artists are. And like, she's setting the stage. Like, it's incredible to watch. I love it.
The thing I will say is that I think it's borderline homophobic that Lemonade is not on Spotify. And I hate her for that.
She's done incredible things. She's an amazing performer. I've seen her live. As a gay icon, I'm just kind of like, eh. I don't know. I like my gay icons having personality and being able to talk, and I want to see them doing crazy shit at gay bars and stuff like that as a surprise. And I'm so glad that people have found her inspiring, and that women and people of color connect with her and find her inspiring, basically. But I just think she talks a lot of shit. And this interview, there's a sentence that I just fucking loved. Like, it made no sense whatsoever. And the whole
maybe
article.
Maybe because you're white.
Well, maybe. Let's read it. Let's read it. And you tell me.
Stop poking the bear.
The whole article is about her trying to talk about how, you know, she wants to inspire the everyday person. And like, I'm here for people that have it hard. And they asked her about freedom. And she said, I don't like too much structure. I like to be free. I'm not alive unless I'm creating something. I'm not happy if I'm not creating, if I'm not dreaming, if I'm not creating a dream and making it all into something real. I'm not happy if I'm not improving, evolving, moving forward, inspiring, teaching and learning. Fucking tell that to a nurse that's doing a night shift. Like, fuck off. We don't all have the option of being free with no structure, which the rest of the entire interview is basically about. Mm-hmm. But I still love her.
Yeah.
Well, I'm about to become wildly unpopular. I cannot fucking stand Beyonce.
Really? Yeah. Not at all.
She is, not even her music? Read that article. I was just like rolling my eyes because she just does not sound like a human being. Like, she is just.
It's very manufactured.
It is so exhausting how she's so idolized by gay people. I don't care. Fight me. Come for me. I don't care. Yeah. Like, I like old school Beyonce, like when she's Destiny's Child, when she first came out and everything. But now she's just so caught up in herself, so self righteous.
Yeah.
She has like a full on God complex, and I just can't with her. Like, she. Yeah.
I can see why the gays love her shows and her songs.
I can,
and stuff.
But
it's
like,
camp, it's fabulous. But personality wise, I'm just like, I don't get anything from her.
Oh, she's much personality.
I think that's where, for me personally, that's where race comes into play.
Yeah.
A lot of the time with a lot of white people, they are given the freedom to be whoever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
Whereas with black people, there's always this sort of veil that has to be put over them because they're black. If you act in a certain way, it's not okay. But if a white person acts a certain way, it is okay and it is expected. Whereas with black people, you just have to be a certain type of presence.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that she hasn't been able to let go as much. And also because she is such a like a role model for younger black people. Yeah. And she is paving the way for them at the same time. She's sort of allowing for them to do what all these other artists are doing now, because unfortunately race is the issue.
I mean, I get what you're saying with race being the issue, and I absolutely agree that she's totally paving the way. But whether you're black or white or anything, if you don't have a personality, I'm just not that interested in you as a personality. Oh, I can still love your music and your shows and your... I mean, she was wonderful in Austin Powers.
I'm just...
I just want to bring that up because everyone forgets that she was Foxy Cleopatra.
Yeah,
she was actually fucking amazing in that.
Yeah.
And I love her showmanship and all that sort of stuff. But if you're going to ask me whether I love her as a personality, I just don't feel like I know what her personality is because I don't get to see that. She's very reserved. And sometimes I feel like she's doing that to make sure she doesn't offend anyone. Like I think that's money driven, which is fine. Like lots of people are.
Yeah. I think it's a personality that people of color recognize and understand because we've done it, which is where we are part of a machine that we're not welcome in. And we got to put on the suit
and edit yourself. Yeah.
And when we see someone like Beyonce doing so well and sort of getting complete creative control over a Vogue article just spouting pretentious bullshit in it, we're like, yes.
Yeah.
You know what? Yes.
I mean, really? Because when I see white people doing that, I'm embarrassed. Like, I'm like, oh, this is exactly what's wrong with white. Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
She's really talented and beautiful.
That's the system, and that's what's shut us down for centuries.
So you want to see someone else that you relate to doing that?
To doing that and being successful and having more money and still being a creative artist. Like, what I actually like about Beyonce and Lemonade in particular is, like, there's a track written by Jack White on there. It's not what you expect from a Beyonce album. It's not all like her playing into some ghetto stereotype. She's making the music that she wants to make. She's releasing it however the fuck she wants to release it.
Yeah, but we're talking about two different things. You're talking about Beyonce's art, which I love, and we're talking about this article, which to me is supposed to be Beyonce's personality, which is a scripted, written... She's written her answers. This is what I want to release about my personality.
I think in a way her empire, like her business empire, is part of her art. And it's what a lot of fans connect to with her. And she does, like, it's toned back a lot. But you can see a video of her talking about loving dolphins or whales or whatever, just like borderline stoned, and it's incredible.
Isn't that Destiny's Child? And they're all like completely stoned and just like so out of it. It's hilarious.
But to see a person of color just own it and be able to get creative control, I think is part of what she does as an artist.
Like, how you feel about that article is how we feel about a lot of white stuff that's put out there.
Yeah, but I feel the same way about the white. Like, I don't like anyone that doesn't have any personality, whether they're white or not white. Like, I'm not interested in.
Regardless.
And you and I have talked about the divas that we like. In fact, I would love to open up and talk about our favorite divas. But that's like, I haven't really connected with anyone that's been considered a gay icon, except for Adele, personality-wise, since like the Bette Midler era.
Yes.
Because they did actually say what they wanted to say. And they could get away with it at the time. And now I feel like everyone's so manufactured that I just can't connect in that same way that I connect to the old divas. Mm. Who is, out of interest, who is everyone's, like, if you dig down into your brain, who is your favourite gay icon diva?
We've spoken about this.
I think we're on the same page. I don't know about you.
I have an old school and a current.
But if you had to just pick one, so say only one ever existed.
One and only, it would be Bette Midler. Absolutely. Bette Midler,
yeah, same.
Like the most incredible, like,
amazing. Yeah. Beaches, fucking amazing.
Beaches, my favourite video clip.
Here is something I'm going to tell. There's no joke or punchline. There's nothing funny about this, but Mike and I have spoken about it, and I want all our listeners to do this. On YouTube, a few years ago, a video surfaced, and so Bette Midler got famous from performing in the bathhouses in New York before the HIV epidemic, and they got all the bathhouses got shut down. But they used to have theaters, like they were massive underground complexes, and they had theaters and stuff like that. And Bette Midler got famous because she was this ugly girl from Hawaii that moved to New York with a couple of bucks and some gay friends that got her a gig in a gay sauna. And a video has been uncovered. It's in black and white. It's grainy, and it's Bette Midler coked off her face performing in a gay sauna. You can see all the gays sitting in front of her in their towels. Barry Manilow is on the piano because they were best friends before they got famous and they had a massive falling out. And it is an hour of the most incredible vocals.
Yeah.
And then when she finishes a song and she starts talking to the microphone, she's so coked off her face. She like, you can barely understand what she's saying. But as soon as that music starts, she is on fire.
Oh, Kyle? I don't know. I don't think I have like a specific gay.
You have to have a.
Who's the one you always go to that you're just like, yes.
Camp. I want something camp. I'm going, okay.
I love Marina and the Diamonds.
Marina and the Diamonds.
Cool.
I do love Marina and the Diamonds.
Yeah, she's really cool.
Like, beautiful voice. And I love her like, lovely sound. Really,
I have a couple, because what I find interesting about these divas and gay icons is like what makes them gay icons if they're not actively involved in the gay scene, but there are specific ones we hold on to and have welcomed into our community, including Beyonce, which I'm just going to say, like from my knowledge, hasn't done a lot for the gay community.
No.
But mine's always been Björk. And I think the things that the gay community holds on to about her is just being an outsider.
She's amazing.
Not fitting into the norms of what music was doing or popular culture, but also more recently is like the people that she works with, her producers, Arca are like all LGBT aligned people that wouldn't necessarily get the exposure that they do. So her designers, her photographers, the producers, and I think being young and a bit of a weirdo, she sort of became my.
She is amazing. Love. That's a good choice. Well done. Correct. Yeah.
You, 10 points to Gryffindor.
That one.
Kyle failed.
You
failed.
Wait, Luke, you've got a.
Rihanna's cool.
B+.
I like Rihanna.
Mikey, you've done very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel very attacked.
My only real Beyonce story is one of the worst dates I've ever gone on. And I feel really bad if this guy listens to it. But it was a first date and it was a Grindr hookup. And we met up and within 5 minutes, somehow Beyonce came up.
Yeah.
And it was right after the self-titled album had dropped, the like surprise release, and we sat there and he went through every track. He did a track by track analysis with me and explained the visuals, because it was a visual album with music videos, visually described what happened in the music videos.
Oh my god,
what the meanings were behind that and why it all summed up into like this great artistic.
That's exactly what would happen to me if you went on a date with me and I started talking about the 1990s ABC TV show Sea Change.
Yeah, it was so bad, but I was so wasted by the end of it because it went for like, you know, 2 hours where I didn't get to talk. But it was also the nicest person I've ever been on a date on. And also the only date horror story that doesn't end with me saying, and then I dated him for 2 years.
Bled on him.
All bled on him either way. So surfing the net as I usually do pretty much every day, as usual.
Looking for porn, but accidentally I stumbled across something
else. Interesting article.
And I came across this term that I was confused about, that gay men have started labeling themselves as androphiles.
Androphile.
I just didn't understand what the term was at all. And so I looked it up. And it's a way that more, I guess, masculine presenting men are describing themselves because they don't want to describe themselves as gay. Because they feel the way that gay people in the LGBT community have a certain like way they have to be like flamboyant or over the top. It's sort of like they're repackaging that whole like phase where people are doing like their mask for mask or like straight acting thing.
Yeah.
And like it's really irking me because it's like, why are we going through this again?
Mm-hmm. These are the guys that have blocked me on Grindr for millennia. I know them very well. Mm-hmm. I don't get androphile sounds like something you learn about in science class.
Sounds like a robot.
So I looked up what the meaning of it was. Yeah. So it's like andro is taken from the Greek word to describe like man and then phile to describe the word love. And so it's like man love. I get that. But then I looked into it a little bit more and it's a lot more like right-wing people that are using it because they feel like the left-wing people using the word gay, like now that we've reclaimed the word queer as well, how it used to be used in such a derogatory term, they're feeling like the word gay has been reclaimed and it has to be like used in a certain way.
I feel a bit embarrassed asking this, but I don't fully understand the term queer now because I'm hearing it more and more and I hear people describing things as queer and everything. So is the word gay kind of phasing out and queer taking over? Like as like, what is the difference?
Like, cause gay started becoming an umbrella term.
Yeah.
Whereas
so now queer is a more general term.
More of a general term of so like how you identify. Queer, but
you may still be straight.
Is yeah, that, absolutely. Like, so, like I know plenty of straight people who identify as queer.
Because I've heard people saying, oh, they're very queer. Does that just mean that they're supportive of like gay people?
I wouldn't say supportive, but I think it's just the way that they identify as a person. Yeah. And I think that's where you sort of, I guess, need to meet more people who do identify as that and sort of get their point of view of how they're identifying. Because a few of my friends that are straight but still identify as queer, they consider themselves a part of the LGBTQIA community, but they are still having relationships with people of the opposite sex.
Okay.
I think queer has stronger connotations to being non-binary.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more to do with your sexual identity as well.
Right.
In conjunction with your...
Okay. Because, I've been a bit confused about that for a while.
It's a different term, and it's a term that's sort of evolved a lot, I think, over the last 10 years as well,
Definitely. I've definitely struggled with the term gay and just being labeled as that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a thing for a while, and, like, I would always try and think of something else, like a different way of describing it, just because I felt like there was so much that came with that word, and it was so heavy. It's, like, a lot of internal stuff. Even, I've never said this before, but... when we were making this podcast, I had a lot of issues with the name of the podcast.
Okay.
It took me a long time to get on board with it.
I think that you've sort of been quite honest in the fact that you're newer to the gay community than the rest of us
are. I feel like yes and no.
Yeah.
But it's just maybe not as exposed to it.
Yeah, and I'm wondering
like in some ways yes, in some ways no.
I'm wondering whether that's
but
that's
I've just kind of been more reserved with it, I think.
You're not as enveloped as the rest of us are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the case. But
so I wonder if perhaps like a lot of these people that are quite put off by the term gay and find it something that they find offensive is because they haven't had a lot of engagement with the
Like I would just scared of people like stereotyping me or something. Like I feel weird about it. Like, I'm definitely getting better with it and it's definitely from starting this podcast and everything, I am definitely noticing changes in myself and how I'm becoming more comfortable with things. Changes like I find myself just being more comfortably openly gay where I guess I was still had like shame attached to it and just telling people that I was part of a podcast called The Gays Are Revolting. I felt like that was a very like in your face name and I was
I don't have any problem with anyone that takes time to come to terms with the fact of being gay.
Yeah.
But anyone that's come to the terms with being gay and then has issues that they might be affiliated with other people in the gay community and is offended by that, I think is an asshole. But you've developed out of that, so I'm glad that
I know it's like a lot of like internalized homophobia and all that kind of stuff.
We owe so fucking much to people that got labeled incredibly awful things for a long period of time. We're so lucky to be in a place that we are now where you can come out to your family and you're not getting kicked out of the family.
Yeah.
We're in such a wonderful age and we owe a lot of that to people that really struggled. And if you feel like you're oppressed by being affiliated with someone that's a bit camp, then you're an asshole.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think this issue and this topic really highlights sort of an obsession that our community has at the moment, which is something I've struggled with as well, which is these set of labels that we have that we kind of get bestowed upon us when we first come out, which is which part of the community are you going to fit into?
Definitely.
Which I think is kind of outdated. And I think queer becoming a more popular term within our community is a move away towards that. It's something a little less strict, like you were struggling with. It's something a little less defined, because at the end of the day, we've been put into boxes of things we don't want to be for so long. And then we come out and we enter the community and we're put into another one, which is a bear or a rice queen or a sociopath like me. And I think the next step I'd love for our community to take is to start moving away from these labels, because the labels also allow things like androphiles to happen, because people come into the community and go, oh no, that label doesn't suit me, and they react against it so strongly because it's only human nature to be like, I'm not that, and start to resent and hate it.
Yeah, which is why the language we've used for a long time has evolved. But I feel like the connotations that these people are talking about the term gay is coming from the straight community, and I think that they're taking on board what straight people consider to be gay and being like, I don't want to be one of them. Like, I like having sex with men.
That's it.
There's nothing different about me and this person standing next to me who we don't have identify differently gender-wise. We don't identify differently sexually. We're exactly the same. I just don't want to be thought of as being camp like these gay men, which I have a huge problem with.
I think that's been an issue in our community for a while, which is internalized homophobia towards the more feminine and camp members of our community. I just don't really connect with the labels that we dole out. I even remember when queer was starting to gain a bit of traction in the community. I thought, oh, this is another one. In the last couple of years, that's how I've started to identify.
Me too.
Because I've realized, oh no, this is a way for me to be myself and not to be pigeonholed into an identity that I have to maintain.
What elements of the term queer do you identify with more than gay?
Honestly, the gay community is something that has been at odds with me for a very long time. It's a community that told me I was too Asian, I was too weird, I was ugly and fat and so many things from the moment I came out. So, like, I had a real disconnect from that community for so many years.
I'm heartbroken that you said that as coming from the gay community. But if we all start calling ourselves the queer community, what is that going to change anything? See, to me, that's coming from the androphiles. It's not coming from the gay community.
Well, this was before that term even existed.
No, but this is from the fractions. It isn't from the... I'm sad that that's how you perceive the gay community. I'm not saying you're wrong.
It's not how
you're
I
right,
perceive...
in fact, if that's how you perceive
it's
it.
It's not how I perceive the gay community. That was my introduction. I didn't feel a part of the gay community, because when you see that when you first come out, you go, this is not what I want to be a part of. The queer community has been something that's popped up in the last few years that has been incredibly open-minded, extremely accepting, and I haven't experienced any of the kind of racism or body shaming that I've experienced outside of the queer community.
Me too, absolutely. Coming into being a gay person was challenging, because you sort of weren't that ideal picture of what a gay man was.
Exactly.
And so that when queer started coming forward, there isn't just a one set image for it. Like, being queer, you can be gay, lesbian, bisexual, like trans person, non-binary, a man, a woman, any shape or form, and you are accepted regardless. It is a beautiful, beautiful community that I have never felt more accepted in my life than I ever have in the gay community, which is different now, though. Like, I do feel more accepted in the gay community than I ever have in my life. But when I was first coming into it, I didn't feel that acceptance. And in saying that, like, there are a lot of gay people that are sort of intersected into the queer community as well. And I think that's where I've sort of found my place with the gay community, is because I've sort of really related to those people that also felt the same way that I did and didn't know where they fit into that sort of, I guess, label of gay.
So you can have more than one label? Like, you can
identify absolutely. Absolutely. Like, you don't just have to have one set thing. If you feel comfortable in the queer community and in the gay community, community, amazing.
Right.
Like, and if you find people that are feeling the same way you are, even fucking better. It's exploring those different communities and finding where you feel that you fit.
But are you but are you saying that you understand where the androphiles are coming from because they don't identify as gay? Because to me, the term gay means a cis man who enjoys having sex, only enjoys having enjoys lots of things in life, but sex-wise, only has sex with other cis men. And I get that they might also identify as queer as well, and that's fine. Okay. But to me, androphiles are people that are like, I'm a guy that likes fucking guys, but I don't want to be associated with no sissy drag queen, slut bottom whore kind of thing.
Yeah. They've literally said that they are repulsed by people who identify that way.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they are so repulsed, and like, for really hardcore androphiles, were saying that they find that anal sex is repugnant.
Yeah.
And that they think that gay men are repugnant.
You're just a gay guy that doesn't like anal. Well, like, that's fine. Like, you can be that. You don't need to come up with your own term and tell us we're all shit.
Exactly right. And that's where, that's my issue with it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very accepting of everything. And I think we all are very accepting of every person who wants to identify the way they do. But if it's affecting people in a negative way, I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's not something that I'm supporting.
And there's nothing, if there's nothing different about you except for your personality, then there's nothing different about you. And I think that's an important thing that all human beings should probably learn.
That's it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. For me, I don't know anyone that identifies as an androphile.
No.
But I know these mask for mask guys.
They probably would if they knew there was a term for it, but they're too
And I just want to move into a label-free kind of environment.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, just get rid of these labels that actually divide us in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I think the queer movement is a move towards that, because it's open to pretty much anybody.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I stumbled across an article that I found very interesting, given my current, well, I mean, my circumstances, my whole life, like, my current circumstances, my general circumstances. I found an article on the internet saying that you are more likely to be gay if you have an older brother. This whole theory, it's called the fraternal birth effect. I found this very interesting because I actually have an older brother, but weirdly, he is actually also gay. So maybe I'm super gay then.
Maybe.
It's a common thing.
Doubly gay.
People do not realize how common it is. My brother's my best friend, and we go out all the time. We drink, we like hang out all the time. I live with him. We moved to Melbourne together from Brisbane. So whenever we're out drinking and everything, I'll be talking to people and be like, oh, this is my brother. And they'll be like, wait, what? They just can't believe that there'll be two gay boys two in the siblings. Family.
Yeah.
It's like just this unfathomable thing.
Yeah.
Well, but it's so common. I've come across so many people, so many sets of twins, especially.
I thought you were a twin.
No. He's my older brother by 3 years, although he loves the fact that people think that I'm the older brother.
Yeah.
I think it's because I can grow facial hair.
He is beautiful.
But
for our listeners, Kyle's
brother is completely beautiful, and I saw photos of him the first night, and Kyle brought him to meet me for the first time on Monday while I was in drag, because Kyle's an asshole.
You're welcome.
And now he's always going to think of me dressed up as an old lady.
I think it's kind of hilarious because we tease my mum, because we're actually technically half brothers. We have the same mum but different dads.
Does so which goes with her the science?
Yeah.
Because the science it's only to do with the mum.
So I jokingly call her the gay incubator.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So it's totally totally her fault that we're like this.
Do you have- it's interesting because, Mikey, your partner's brother is also...
Well, this hasn't been announced yet.
Oh, but sorry. No. We don't need to talk about it.
For everyone out there, I have a new partner.
Yeah.
I got to meet him on Monday. He was really sweet.
Yeah. So him and his younger brother are both gay. It.
Oh, no, they're both gay.
They're both gay. Okay. But like, they have...
Mikey's boyfriend's straight.
Yeah. But they have two older sisters.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, like, is that coming into play as well?
Yeah. According to the theory I read, it's only based on the man.
Oh, okay.
Because it generates it.
But it's also obviously not 100%. I'm the oldest in my family and I'm the only gay. Let me know.
This is a higher percentage.
I believe in Darwin's theory of evolution as if it was religion. Like and I think everything down to thoughts that you have are probably somehow connected to Darwin's theory of evolution. And I often think about, like, why does homosexuality occur in nature? And when I first heard about this theory, I was like, that makes sense, because I've always thought perhaps societies thrive. And when we think about evolution, we have to think back to, like, Stone Age stuff. Once we start building houses, the theory of evolution sort of gets weaker. But for a society to thrive, there were babies that couldn't be raised because their parents died or whatever. And I often think perhaps gay people were created so that they could raise the babies of the family members. And so in a society where there wasn't a big population, it wouldn't be beneficial to have a gay person there. Does that make sense?
Yes,
so absolutely. If you had only one kid and they were gay, it wouldn't be very helpful. No. But if you had a society where it was thriving and people having lots of kids, it would be beneficial for the younger ones to not reproduce, but to take on the kids of the... And that's what I find fascinating about this. Although I'm not a scientist.
Did you see the TED Talk about it?
No,
I didn't. There's a fantastic TED Talk that I watched about it, and it's just like being gay from an evolutionary point, and it's so fascinating. I'll post it on our wall because I just think it's so interesting.
Yeah.
I feel really fortunate. So many people say to me, oh, you're poor parents, like having two gay boys, but I feel really fortunate.
My mum would have been thrilled.
Sick. Yeah.
You're beautiful. Stop. So I did a bit of research into my heritage because my mum is from New Zealand. She's Māori and she hasn't really taught us a lot about the culture. So I just sort of delved into it a little bit. And then I looked into like gay history within our heritage.
Yeah.
And so before colonization happened in New Zealand, if there were to be anyone within the queer community, so like gay or someone who identified as trans, but they didn't have the words for those people back then, they were considered as caregivers. So, like, it wasn't a weird thing to have gay people around.
They're also quite celebrated, weren't they?
But yeah, they were very celebrated. So, like, one of those...
It was quite an honor to have.
Yeah, it was very much an honor to have a child who was like that, because they were the ones who were going to help everyone else look after the tribes and look after the children and look after the elderly. And like, there's a reason why these people are being born, because they don't want to sort of overpopulate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when the tribes will get to a certain size, there'll be more and more and more gay people being born. And like, that's what they've like written through their records. And it was just like, I like this.
Yeah.
I
dated a guy who was Māori for a while and always said, oh, do you love your Māori princess, because that's what his mum used to call him because of the stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fascinating. If anyone doesn't know any more about different cultures that celebrated the queer community, post it in our group, because I would like to read more and I feel stupid for not knowing more about it.
Well, I also saw an article that said, well, firstly, if scientists can figure out this, I want to know genetically why I like getting spat on and
I think that's more psychological than genetic.
A whole lot of things.
Yeah, and why I constantly masturbate on public transport.
Wow.
But if science can figure that out, then I'd be impressed.
No one can figure that out.
There was another article I saw, and one of the psychs at work sent it to me, which was very similar to this, but it said that younger brothers were more likely to be left-handed and big old bottoms.
Wow. Oh.
So what hand are you right with, Carl?
I am right-handed and not a big old bottom.
That's interesting, because like, I have an older brother, but he's left-handed.
My younger brother is a left-handed.
And he likes anal.
No, he doesn't like anal. he's the most mask man I've ever.
I feel it's so cool having a gay big
mask
brother, because
like anal.
That was my whole entry point into the gay world. Like, it was, I felt like it was a lot smoother transition for me.
I'm so jealous of
in that way that he was like 3 years ahead of me, so he'd experienced heaps. And then when I like went to a gay club or whatever for the first time, like it was just a lot easier transition. Like, I was just introduced to a whole lot of people.
Yeah. Did he teach you how to douche?
Wow. We are not that close. So we have boundaries, but he's also kind of like my parent. He looks after me. He'll tell you that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, he's sort of like a parent to you. And when I marry him, I might be one of you.
Thomas, I'm not going to call
I'll
you
be
daddy.
Your new
fuck
stepdad.
Off. I it was so funny. I even dated this really cute Brazilian guy for a hot minute, and there's three brothers, and they were all gay.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I thought that was crazy.
One of my best friends is gay, and he is the oldest. He's got two younger sisters. He came out first. Then
yeah.
The next oldest sister came out, and he was like, "Oh, cool. Well, yep, cool. There's two of us now." Yeah. And then the youngest came out. He's like, "Fuck off! Like this was my thing.
Yeah.
Mom and dad were really proud of me. I was so happy.
Yeah.
And now we're all gay."
It's so many people will ask me like, "Oh, so was it really easy for you to come out because your brother's gay?" I'm like, fuck off. It was like 10 times harder because there's so much more pressure.
Parents hold on.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was so much more pressure to like carry on the family legacy. Like,
I think that's generational.
So one of my younger sisters came out during the whole yes vote as bisexual. Mm. And she said to me, she was just like, "I found it so much easier because you're here." And I was just like, that's really nice. Like, that's so lovely. But I think it's different because
you have a lot of siblings.
I have a lot of siblings. She identifies as a woman. True. It's coming out as bisexual as well. Like, it's not another gay man coming out. Yeah. Yes. There's not that pressure, I guess.
Yeah. My older brother made it easier for me to come out, but mainly because he steals cars and smokes a lot of meth.
Wow.
I'm not laughing at you. No,
But after he did all of that,
you were just like,
you're like, I have something to say.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, thank God.
And it's exciting. It's just Mikey and me now, but we are joined with our first special guest.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We're joined by Jacob Thomas, human rights activist. Hello, Jacob. How are you?
Very well, my friends. How are
we? We're very excited to have you here. So I think we're up to our sixth episode, but first interviewee.
First interview. Yay.
Congratulations. We're virgins. Be gentle.
Okay. You know what? I'm not here to yuck on your yums. We're all just being inclusive. That's great. It's what we're here for.
We are. Thrilled to have you here.
Yes.
A, because you're amazing. B, I don't know if you know, but
you can
I'm fucking
there.
Obsessed with the royal family.
Yeah.
I have a tattoo of the Queen on my arm. It's, no secret. But you got to meet Prince Harry and Meghan Markle a few times, and the Queen. But Meghan and Harry were through your work with the Commonwealth Youth Gender and Equality Network. How were they?
What was that like? Like the first time you met them?
Everyone seems to love this story, so I'm glad it's finally getting out to an audience. This is great because it's going to save me having to do that.
You can just play this podcast when someone asks.
I'm not even going to play it. I'm just going to send them the link and just be like, that's it. It's like when people ask me questions of just like, what about this? Like really contextualized, complex topic. I'm just like, here's a Google. Would you like a Google? There we go. So I guess for context, I was the program director for the Youth Forum for the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting. Different country each year. That country is the chair of the Commonwealth for 2 years. I know it's really boring, but it's important.
Yeah.
Anyway, so am I allowed to swear on this?
Yeah. Yes, swear all you like.
Good.
I just told a story about bleeding out of my ball sack on someone, so you're fine.
That's just a standard Saturday. All right, that's fine. Anyway, so so it's like 53 prime ministers and presidents all get together. We're all in London. It's super fun. It has like four forums before that. Youth is a really, really big one. It's 500 attendees from everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, it's humongous.
Wow.
So I got to work with a fabulous team to help put that together. And you're representing 1.2 billion people.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
So one of the very exciting parts of that was Meghan and Harry. Or as I like to say, Meghan and her husband. There we go. Facts are facts. It's what it is. Brown cow stunning. So basically, like, I had the opportunity to meet Meghan at the time and Prince Harry, not quite Duke and Duchess.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-wedding. I know, pre-wedding Meghan. There we go.
This wasn't that long after they'd announced that they were even together, was it?
Yeah, it was like a few weeks.
Cool.
So anyway, getting to the point. So I had the opportunity to meet both of them with some phenomenal activists from around the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
My friend Jonah from Kenya, my friend Malusi from Kingdom Eswatini, previously called Swaziland, but back to its indigenous name because, you know, fuck colonization.
Yeah,
am I right, ladies? Yes. Am I right?
But speaking of colonization, how was Harry and Meghan?
I'm going to set this fucking up, all right? Do you mind? Anyway, so I was like, cool, you're the white Aussie, go last. That's what you need to do. For context, outfit, black pork pie hat, silver leopard print jacket.
Love it. Heaven.
Red vegan leather alligator heels.
Yes.
Skinny black jeans.
Same thing that Prince Edward would probably be wearing on a Saturday night.
Anyway. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'd be wet for it. Yeah. So there we go. So they come through. Megan comes through first, and you don't have to do any protocol. You just shake her hand, and that was great. Anyway, and she just gives me an up down, and she just goes, lovely to meet you.
Yes.
Oh. Steps to the heaven, side.
Of course, yeah.
Has Dogger, as I like to call him. He doesn't know that, but it's the thing we have. comes through and shakes, you know, you bow at the neck, fucking whatever. I'd like to point out we have all of the media behind us. Like, yes. All of the world's media is standing behind us.
Yeah.
And shake the hand. And he just goes, oh, love the jacket.
Yeah.
Love what it. You meant to say is, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
What I fucking said was... Babes, you can borrow it if you want to. You just let me know. You just give me a ring, Roo, and I'll just hand it over, which he has loved. So there we go.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway, chatting.
He probably owns all the jackets in the Commonwealth.
Oh, like. Yeah. To which his response was, don't worry about it, mate. I've got three of the same at home. I know. When you're stealing that much land that doesn't belong to you, well, why not? Yeah. There we go. Love that. Quiche content. Call it Lorraine. Anyway, so then chatting. Malusi's just like, he ran Kingdom Eswatini's first ever Pride March this year.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge. Like, that's by order of the king, like, support by police. Like, is that
amazing,
is
yeah.
humongous.
Wow.
Anyway, what I've decided to do, like a piece of shit, is jump on the end of that and ask Harry and Meghan. I was just like, you two going to go? Going to fly on down? Is that what you're going to do? Meghan doesn't know how to respond.
Yeah.
She's wearing a shoulderless dress, so she's already in trouble. Harry just sort of goes, yeah, I'll go if you go. I was like, babes, I'll go if you go. You just let me know. Got to call each other in the morning, though. Can't wear the same jacket now, can we? And he's just like, don't worry about it, babe. Got one in green. Love it. And just storms off. And that was amazing. It. Yeah. So that was the initial catch up. Yes.
It's amazing that there is a forum in the Commonwealth for this, because there's a lot of countries in the Commonwealth that aren't very accepting of gender diverse people.
Well, 36 out of 53 criminalized.
Yeah. So do you get people from those countries as well as the ones where it's not? Yeah. That must be hard for them to attend these sorts of things.
Yeah, I mean, we have a Commonwealth network now, which is called the Commonwealth Equality Network, or TSEN for short. Not to go into it too much, but like, to be an actual network, you need to be accredited, which means all 53 countries have to agree that you should be a formalized network. It's like a blue tick. Okay. TSEN are accredited.
Wow.
Like, that's the thing. Okay. And so this year at Chogham, across the board, across all four forums, we had the largest LGBTQA plus contingent in history, which is phenomenal.
So Harry and Megan, just one more question.
Go back to it. Yeah. I mean, she did call me old friend.
Old friend?
When
old
I saw her friend. Like 4 weeks ago, she walked up. And so we're at Marlborough House this time. I've got like, I'm sure people have seen the photo. Who knows? That's a fun where I'm basically wearing the trans pride flag. You're welcome.
That was beautiful.
So I'm standing in the crowd. Harry's got his like stink face on because he's about to do a talk. And he lives with anxiety, which I think is a very, very important thing to point out.
Yeah.
He loves it. Anyway, and so he's stink facing. He's looking through the crowd and he sees me just standing out and his eyes just widen and his hands go up and he's like, hi.
Oh,
he turns around, brings Megan forward. He points to me and he just goes, there's Jacob. And she's like, oh my God, hi. Anyway, and they split the ways that they're going around because there's like a few of us at different tables.
Yeah.
I'm on the
was
table.
Was he wearing
the
jacket?
No, he wasn't, which we're working on that. It's fine. Just, you know, law reform and fashion. Yeah, so there we go. Absolutely. Fixed it. Love
all
that.
At the same time.
Hand in hand. Anyway, so Megan comes over and she walks up and she's just like, hello, old friend. How are you? So how have you been? I should have said, hello, Your Royal Highness.
Yeah.
Instead, I called her my fave gal pal.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
I feel like of all the royals, they're the least, the two that are least, likely to care about.
Look, they're six in line for the throne, unless it's like some sort of King Ralph fiasco. Like, it's not going to happen, and that's okay. And
yeah,
I don't
but I feel
that.
Like the ones that are closer to the throne actually care less. It's the ones that are like 23rd in line to the throne that are like,
oh, it's Eugenie and Beatrice who are just so like,
hang on,
oh, we're just
your
like
royal
regular
highness.
Girls. Yeah. You know, it's just like,
we're regular
just like
girls.
Strong blood, but like, we flip burgers like everyone else. Yeah. No, you don't. No. Sit down.
Stop
none of that. Cancel. Exactly. Don't lie to me like this.
So with LGBT rights within sort of the royal family, Meghan and Harry have vowed to sort of champion that. Like, how do you feel that they're going about it and like what they're doing?
Look, it's a really great question. I mean, like, the royal family is meant to be impartial.
Yeah.
Within the Commonwealth. Mm. They, like, the Queen is, you know, the head, but she's not allowed to like do anything about it.
She does things around it.
She does things.
She does. She does.
I'm so glad you're on board with this because I lectured my gay friends at 5 a.m. at fucking Poof doof, being like, you know, the Queen loves gays.
Yeah, I live in Prane. Yeah. I saw you on Grindr.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, it's fun. They kind of have to be a bit covert about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like they're not allowed to like have any meetings about it necessarily. But I think it's like people pay attention to the royal family, love them or hate them. I mean, like you've got to have friends in high places.
That's
you just have to. And it's a hard thing for me to try and work out as an advocate as well, because I've got to be anti-colonization and have to like work with people you just don't like sometimes, you know, or just like trying to balance the needs of your communities. I'll give you an example. Me being in the trans pride flag in that jacket, high fam, got the nails out, everything. For that to be on the Kensington Royal Instagram, like that's an important step. Like, you know, you have to be subtle about
huge.
It. Absolutely. And like knowing that there was no backlash from me being interviewed and my fellow advocates being interviewed by like, we got into Vogue, like into more, like my name was a top 10 Google search the day after the first time I met them because we got it into every damn paper.
Yeah.
It's about being able to say, look, you know, we've kind of got the tick, make it work now.
Yeah.
Done. Use it. Use it to the best of your availability.
Do you think a lot of it comes from Princess Diana?
I mean, I think a lot of Harry's compassion and kindness comes from navigating trauma through his life, to be quite honest. People loved Princess Di, that you know, she was the people's princess.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of expectation on Harry and Will to bring that forward and bring that, you know, that generosity, that kindness, that compassion forward. That's taken years for them to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And it's come out in some very weird ways, like, you know, wearing a certain uniform to a certain party.
Yeah. I mean, I think that just proves he's a bit cheeky.
Yeah, it's just... But look, I do think that there is, with expectation kind of comes an opportunity to build your principles and your values on what is kind of expected of you. I think we all feel that in this community, in these communities as well, that you have something to prove of yourself. So I think there is absolutely influence in that, but how that's manifested, who can say?
But you think they genuinely want to do the right thing by the LGBT community?
I mean, like, you know, Harry was just so like, yep, really important. Yep, absolutely needs to happen. Cool, cool, cool. And Meghan was just so like, I just don't get why it's an issue.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, love is love. And like, you're not hurting anyone, so whatever, which she could say before she had to be impartial, because she was part of the royal family.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen very, very slowly. It's a hard space. And I think we need to sort of get outside of our bubble a lot of the time and actually see the reality of the world.
And one more royal question, because I am obsessed with her and I do love her. And for similar reasons to what we've been talking about, Harry and Meghan, you also met the Queen, as you mentioned, as part of the Queen's Young Leaders in 2016.
Incredible.
Did you get to talk to her much? What was she like? How did it go?
Quick thing, I didn't care for like the first like 10 days. I was like, that's the fucking Queen. Who gives a shit? Fuck it, whatever. Free trip to London. Lol, 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 lol.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was about to get called out. And I was like, ah, it's just Prince Harry, David Beckham, Jimmy Choo.
Yeah.
Just all these important just people. Whatever. Don't care, whatever. And they'd all kind of hit and sunk in. And I was like, oh, fuck me. And they were like, Jacob Thomas from Australia. And I was like, oh, fuck. And smacked the Scottish guard in the chest.
Oh, God.
He was fine.
Also, your British accent's amazing.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I can do wanker. Anyway, so I walked out and I was like, don't fuck it up, don't fuck it up. Don't fuck it up. So if anyone ever saw the video footage, I just look terrified and angry.
Yeah.
Spun around, wore shoes that had no grip, nearly fell over, all that. And she, you know, extends the hand, you shake the hand, you get the medal. And she was like, so who are you and what do you do? And it went in one ear and out the other. So the first word I ever said to the Queen was fucking.
Oh, no.
Followed.
Followed. I mean, she's married to Prince Philip. I'm sure she's heard it before. Yeah. But
she got a racist on the knee. It's fine. Don't worry. Followed by what? And then I was like, yeah, nah, I'll do. I'm from Shepparton. I would like to point that out. When I get nervous, I get very country. Yeah. I was like, yeah, nah, I do like the LGBTs and human rights and shit. Eh? Yeah, it's good and stuff.
My God.
Yeah. And she was like, ooh. Very exciting, isn't it? Very proud to welcome you in tonight. Ah, so good. So there are other sassy things, but like, you know, that's for neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like back on home ground here in Australia, once the yes vote came through, that was all amazing. But like now that we've come on to the other side, what do you think that we should also be campaigning for now since that has come through?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. My personal politics aside, which are marriage is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's necessary for like a lot of reasons. I hated that it happened. the way that it happened. Particularly as like a member of the trans and gender diverse community, like that fucking sucked for us. Like we got thrown under the bus and never got picked back up. So like that really sucks.
Yeah.
So there's still like a lot of grief from both sides with that. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, like there's a big campaign going on at the moment in reaction to those marriage laws changing and amending regarding birth certificates, regarding, you know, no fault divorce, which has to come down to states and territories. And a lot of work's being done on that at the moment. Mm. Conversion therapy is a really, really hot topic, which I'm really glad that's finally getting addressed.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Intersex Human Rights Australia have a very large list of things that need working on for the intersex community. The World Health Organization recently took being trans off the mental disorders list, put it on the sexual disorders list, which I don't think a lot of people are aware of either. Yeah, we got reclassified. We didn't get removed.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, the intersex communities around the world also bashed behind that. I'm not going to try and speak on someone's behalf here, but this is just bullshit of, like, we talk about, oh, we're all free and equal now. It's like, no.
Yeah.
At all. Like, fuck your marriage equality to a point.
Totally.
Like, don't just say it's done.
Yeah.
And it's really hard because you don't want to go on the attack with each other because it's what they
want. You don't want to turn the community against each other. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're not free until we're all free.
Yeah.
And I've had activists and members of community turn around to me and say, well, you can stop now, can't you? No, you can't.
No.
That's fucked. Do you think there's a silver lining in that a lot of people in the LGBTI community, possibly even more so in the lesbian and gay community, weren't involved in politics so much before the marriage equality debate, got involved because that was something that they could see as a major issue and are now learning that there is more because they got involved during what was a fucked up plebiscite?
I think, I mean, you know, people want to say, oh, you know, I'm not political or like politics is not my thing. And it's like, mate, I'm sorry to break this to you, but you're part of a minority community.
Yeah, you live a political life.
You're politicized whether you like it or not. So you might as well engage in it if you have the energy to do so and the resource, which is why so many of us are advocates because we recognize so many people can't. It's a fucking hard job. Like, I don't get paid for any of this.
No, that's
I would like to make that really, really clear. Like, none of us really do. I think some people got involved and have stayed involved and they're having to learn of their own community real quick. And others have bailed. They're just like, I got what I want.
Like, this is
I came
hard
to the party.
Now.
I ate the cheese.
Yeah.
I stole the wine and I fucked off.
Totally.
And that really sucks a lot of the time as well. Because it's not just about being anyone else in the Australian context. Like, I know we're talking like domestically, but internationally, like, have we forgotten about Russia? Have we forgotten about, you know, like anyone else like in the Pacific Islands? Like, what about, you know, our neighbors? Like, what are we actually doing with that? And we're really just laying people down. And I don't want to like shame people into getting involved in this, but I really urge people to understand your global community.
Yeah.
You have to set the standard you want to see. And it's all well and good to, you know, tell allies of community to, you know, get involved, wear a rainbow lanyard, whatever you want, but we should be our own accomplices.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
And we were talking earlier in the episode about labels and that sort of thing. Now, Jacob, you neither identify as male or female, and you came out as genderqueer in 2014. You also did that amazing TED Talk about trying to look beyond being male or female.
Which I watched last night.
And amazing. Did you like it?
It was incredible. It was very informative, and I really,
fuck
really
you,
liked it.
Because, like, smart and shit.
I have a general understanding of what non-binary is and what queer is, and I myself identify as a queer man, but the way you put it, it's sunk into my brain and I was just like, yes, okay. It's nice to hear someone put it in like a really eloquent way that everybody can understand.
Which you have a very succinct way of putting things in a language that a lot of people can understand, which is quite amazing. So good on you for doing that. Yeah. And I think that that does a lot more for our community than anyone lecturing people or anything like that. Like if you can have an actual conversation with people, I think it's really important. So with that in mind, can you tell us about your relationship with labels like trans, not binary and genderqueer? Do you identify as all three, or like how do you look at those sorts of labels?
Firstly, thanks. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Love that. I mean, like, your community needs to be accessible as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I kind of fall back on what quite a few of my mates have said is that, you know, gender's a galaxy.
That's a good way of putting it.
Isn't it wholesome?
It's not a spectrum. It's a galaxy.
It's
a galaxy. Yeah.
I think for me, I have a really privileged perspective on how I can look at gender a lot of the time because I know, you know, people in the laity community, I know brother boys and I know sister girls. I know people who have cultural entanglement with their gender that's not like they, like, and I think gender has to be decolonized a lot of the time as well. And And for me, I'm just sort of like, eh, non-binary because fuck your binaries, right? Mm. And that's just kind of like easy because it's like got a lot of like visibility and stuff at the moment. Totally. But trans I will use to actually find my space. Okay. In that acronym, mm-hmm. as well, because I refuse to be invisibilized because mm-hmm. I'm not palatable, mm-hmm. so I will make my own space.
Yeah.
But for me, like genderqueer is just like that much more fun radical fuckery a yeah. lot of the time where I'm just yeah, so like, yeah. you can get fucked, nah. just suck it the fuck up yeah. and nah, we're queering all of this shit and you can just deal with that. Because a lot of the grief I get from people... I got told the other day that I'm not trans, apparently, by a cishet. And I was just like, you can hop in the bin. And, yeah. I took 2 days of stress leave because that destabilized me because yeah. that's super fun. But there it was just so like, everyone should be able to like critique gender all the time, yeah. right? Like we're all kind of experiencing a different kind of oppression in our own ways.
Yeah.
And it's just like not hard to just not be shit about
it. That's it.
And my yeah. big thing when everyone's just like, pronouns are just so hard to remember, just so hard. I'm like, one, no. watch my TED Talk if you fucking
yeah.
wish.
Yeah.
But secondly, love the plug. but that's a whole nother chat.
Yeah.
But, you know, but being able to also just be sort of like, cool, pronouns aren't the fucking end no. of any of this. Like, if we really want to take a deficit narrative on this, let's talk about suicide rates. Let's talk about yes. medicalizing. Let's talk yeah. about, you know, domestic violence. Let's talk about all these sorts of things. But I refuse to do that because that doesn't make me good. Like, that no. doesn't, all you do is feel sad for me. So I'm just like, you know what? Look, I don't care if I, like, am mask passing. Like, I acknowledge yeah. that, like, relative privilege that gets assigned to me that's not owned by me.
Yeah.
But also it's just like, cool, like, can we not be femphobic pieces of shit? Can we not be like, absolutely. You know, like butch priv? And can we not just sort of like, just think that people only have value in how they present themselves? Like, yeah. I think that, like, that's a larger problem. Mm. Like, get your femmes out, get your fatties out, get yes. everything out there because it's fucking great.
Absolutely.
Like, community should be super fucking supportive.
Yeah.
And like any of that bullshit where it's just like, oh, you're not this enough or that enough. Mm. It's just like, bitch, you're enough.
Yeah.
The cishets already fucking hate us enough. Exactly. And they're just like, oh, you shit. It's just so yeah. like, cool. Can we fucking back each other and yeah. just like celebrate the beauty that is here? I love that. And that's where genderqueer is yeah. really important for me. It's like, you should queer it.
Yeah.
You should always be able to queer gender.
And that's exactly what I love about the queer community.
Right.
Like, it is everyone. Like yeah. everyone supports themselves like and each other. And it's just like, fuck you guys. I've had enough of this. Like, no, I'm going to love myself and I'm going to love all my friends mm-hmm. and we're going to have a fucking great time. So mm-hmm. suck it. Like, yeah.
I refuse to be scared anymore.
Yeah.
I'm fucking done.
Oh, I feel so warm after this chat. It's gorgeous.
You're welcome. It's 115 hour.
Speak to our producer.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so
Jacob.
Much. Yeah. Well, you've been so gentle with us for our first interview.
Yeah, thank you. It's been so lovely meeting you, honestly. Yeah. Like, it's yeah.
inspiration.
Absolutely.
Thanks, friends. Appreciate Bye. It. Bye.
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 Thanks so much for listening, everyone. This has been a fun episode. It's yeah, nice to have the whole gang back together. Yeah.
Mike is back.
I'm so happy to
yeah,
be back.
Yeah, Mike is back. Things are back to normal.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review, everybody.
Yeah, and write us heaps of fan mail. I love it. It's like yeah. the best part.
Yeah, I think we're all on Twitter now as well.
Yeah,
yes, just every single one of us.
Yeah. I just joined Twitter and it's really confusing, yeah. but I'm not the Spanish Kyle anymore.
And it's the real Kyle.
It's the real me.
That's good. And don't forget, guys, if you like want to and you want to hear some of the stuff we're talking about, join our group as well. On Facebook.
Yeah, the gays are revolting.
And before we go, I actually just wanted to share because we literally got this message while we were recording.
Wow. Yes. Oh, is it my grinder?
Yeah. It says, meet me in 5 minutes.
Oh, cool.
It's from Henry's Creek on Instagram, who just mentioned us and said, dear gays are revolting, thank you for existing. Thank you for being four intelligent and freewheeling people who were just genuine and hilarious and extremely engaging to listen to.
So nice.
All of you remind me of talking to my own friends who I don't catch up with often because of work commitments, and the irreverence between the four of you, mixed with the personal way you talk about topical issues, really reminds me of the conversations I have with my friends who I miss dearly. I can't get enough of your podcast, and I hope there are many more episodes to come.
That's so nice.
No one's ever said something so nice about me.
I feel like
before.
You should have been reading that behind like a screen, like with like a like a silhouette cast, like on Oprah.
Some soft piano music.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
That's really sweet. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Like that. I need it for my ego.
Go follow him at Instagram.
Henry's _
because he's beautiful.
Slide into his DMs.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. Oh,
thanks so much.
Bye, until next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.